The FBI in Peace and War. The FBI in Peace and War is brought to you by
L-A-V-A, L-A-V-A.
Lava, the soap that gets grimy hands cleaner, faster than ordinary toilet soaps ever can. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, Help Wanted.
The Severe Placement Service, Miss Daly speaking. Oh, yes, Mrs. Clark, how are you? Good. Oh, she did. Well, I think you're going to like her, Mrs. Clark. Her references say she's a very fine cook. I hope so, too. Let us know, will you? Not at all. Bye, Mrs. Clark.
Good morning, Miss Daly.
Oh, good morning, Gerald. Good morning, Sophie.
Good morning.
Did you see Mr. Whitmore?
Yes, we did, Miss Daly. We begin work Monday morning.
Oh, that's fine. I think Mr. Revere would like to talk to you about that job. I'll tell him you're here. Mr. Revere?
Well, come in, Miss Daly.
They're here, Harry. Gerald and Sophie, they got the job at the Whitmore place.
Oh, okay. When do they start?
Monday. Harry.
Yeah?
Are you sure he's reliable?
Who, Jerry? Sure, he's reliable like a dollar wristwatch. But he needs the dough feeder. He'll be all right for one operation.
Okay, but this is out of his line.
No, don't worry about it. Tell him to come in.
Will you come in, please? Mr. Revere will see you now.
Come in, Gerald. Hello, Sophie. How are you, dear?
I'm just fine, thank you, Harry.
Well, sit down, won't you? So you got the job, eh? Do you have to do any cooking, Sophie?
Only on Thursdays.
Good. How do you like the layout, Gerald?
A very tidy little estate. I'd forgotten that people could live so handsomely.
We're in a cottage all by ourselves. It's very pretty.
Well, that's fine. Now, let's talk business, huh?
We think 10% would be reasonable, Harry.
You're getting 5. It's the same as anybody else.
5?
Look, Jerry, I took you in on this because I heard you were hard up for dough. Now, I've got plenty of other people who could do it.
Harry, my boy, am I complaining? 5 is a very generous figure. And if it weren't for the fact that Sophie is under constant care of a physician, if it weren't that she needs rare and costly medicine...
All right, Jerry, that's enough.
8%?
5. And just forget all those years you spent swindling suckers. You're wasting your technique on me.
All right, 5%. What do you think your boys can take out of that house, Harry?
I don't know. It's up to you and Sophie. This Whitmore doll is supposed to have close to $250,000 in diamond pieces. Now, you've got to find out when she takes them out of the vault to wear them, where she keeps them before they go back into the vault. In the next 3 or 4 months, you've got to know every move that dame makes.
3 or 4 months? We weren't quite counting on that long, Harry.
What do you think we're going to do? Pull a job the minute you go to work there?
That would look awkward, Gerald, dear.
You bet your life it would. And what's more, you've got to keep working there a couple of months after we pull the job. You'll even have to talk to cops and detectives. Well, say, they haven't got your picture anyplace, have they?
My last period of incarceration was in 1932. If they have a picture, I don't think it would do them much good.
You're just as handsome as you always were, Gerald.
Thank you, dear.
Okay, I guess you're pretty well set. And when you begin to get the household routine, come in here on your day off and we'll talk.
We get a day and a half off.
Well, good for you.
And evening.
Sophie, I think you're going to like this job.
As long as Jerry's with me, I will.
I'm sure you will. Okay, Jerry, good luck.
Thanks, Harry. Oh, just one thing before we go.
How much?
$200 on account.
All right. But just remember, this comes off your 5%.
Of course. Yep,
here you are.
Thanks, Harry.
Okay.
Come along, Sophie. I think we need a little relaxation before we tackle domestic service. Good day, Mr. Revere. We'll be in touch with you.
In the summer of 1952, a series of highly successful robberies occurred in the fashionable suburbs of New York and Connecticut. Jewelry valued at more than $100,000 was taken from the homes of wealthy estate owners, and in each instance, the robbery was perfectly timed and executed. Our bureau came into the case when we picked up a draft dodger and found some of the stolen jewelry in his apartment. It was while we were questioning this man that a new and more spectacular burglary was in the making.
And this is Mr. Whitmore's study. I'd like you to tidy it up once a day, Sophie.
Yes, ma'am.
And when you dust these pictures, do be careful, will you, dear? Now, this one, for instance, is quite valuable.
Monet, isn't it, ma'am?
Oh, that's right, Gerald.
Oh, don't worry, ma'am. We'll be careful.
I'm quite sure you will be. Well, I guess that's all I can think of right now. Oh, can you make a nice dry martini, Gerald?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Whitmore likes one before dinner.
Yes, ma'am.
If anyone calls this morning, I'll be home for lunch.
Yes, ma'am.
Gerald.
Yes, ma'am.
Stop it.
Would you like a cigarette, ma'am, or shall we retire to the study and have one of Mr. Whitmore's big black cigars?
Oh, dear, you're awful. Can I sit down? My feet hurt.
Oh, of course you can sit down. No wife of mine is going to acquire the abject mentality of a common domestic. Sit in the big chair.
Yes, Gerald.
Thank you. Now, what were you going to say a minute ago?
I was going to say, Gerald, do you think you'll be happy here? I mean, you were saying last night we're only getting a 5% cut.
That was last night, dear. A very charming idea occurred to me just a few minutes ago in the library.
About our 5%?
Yes. I'm quite sure now that we can realize about 10 times that.
Oh, Jerry, you aren't thinking of double-crossing Harry Revere. I don't think that's charming at all. He might shoot you.
I don't think so, dear.
You're all I've got, Jerry.
I know, dear.
What was the idea, Gerald?
You're looking right at it, Sophie. You see that picture over the fireplace? What do you think that's worth?
I can't even tell what it's supposed to be. Is it worth anything?
About $5,000, that's all.
Oh, but it looks like a little boy did it.
Well, he didn't. A fellow named Picasso did it. And those two pictures in the library are worth between $6,000 and $7,000 each. There's close to $30,000 worth of modern art in this place, Sophie. And I know where to get rid of some of it.
You mean walk out with the pictures? Just like that?
No, no, of course not. When Harry's boys pull this job, we take a few of the pictures.
Oh. You think Harry would like that?
Well, he'll fuss a little, but what can he do? He has to keep us here after the job is over so nobody gets suspicious of his fancy employment service.
You don't think he might get upset and shoot you?
I don't think so.
Well, I guess it's a good idea at that.
Oh, thank you, dear. Now, shall we get to work? You dust in the study. I'm going to cut some roses to put on Madame's table for lunch.
Back to Help Wanted in just a moment. What does a really enjoyable evening consist of? Well, good entertainment goes right at the top of the list. And you're assured of good entertainment when you stay with CBS Radio the rest of this evening. If it's more adventure you want, don't miss Casey, crime photographer, with another exciting adventure in the life of a fearless cameraman. And you can travel back into the past for another crime classic. Tonight's classic is entitled Old Six Toes. If you want to share some of the problems of a real policeman, join us in the 21st Precinct, where you'll learn what it's like trying to curb crime in the world's largest city. And this, too, is the evening when those delightful co-stars, Kathy and Elliot Lewis, return on stage with another unusual dramatic story. This evening's tale is called Occurrence Up a Side Street, a story about a couple who commit a crime and pay for it in a way that they don't expect. Enjoy all of these shows later tonight over most of these same stations. Now back to the FBI in Peace and War. Now, Act Two of tonight's story, Help Wanted.
On Sunday night, September 9th, 1952, three armed men enter the home of Charles Whitmore in Ridgeville, Long Island, bound and gagged the two servants, and took $30,000 worth of jewelry from a wall safe. In addition, three paintings valued at $18,000 were stripped from their frames and taken as part of the loot. Our bureau requested permission of the local police to question the Whitmores and their servants, since this robbery seemed to fall into the same pattern as the others. And this jewelry, Mrs. Whitmore, was usually kept in your vault at the Ridgeville Bank?
Yes. I'd taken the necklace and the other pieces out to wear to a party on Saturday. I was going to put them back in the vault on Monday morning.
Mrs. Whitmore, this couple, Gerald and Sophie Tanner, how long have they worked for you?
About 4 months, I think.
Were they recommended to you, or did you get them through an agency?
An agency. The Revere Placement Service. They had a very fine references. Oh, surely you don't
We're just
think...
checking, Mrs. Whitmore.
They're really a wonderful couple. I don't know how we ever managed without them.
They occupy the cottage near the garage, is that right?
Yes.
Would they ordinarily be here in the house on a Sunday night?
No. Sophie asked me if they could come over and look at television till we came back from our visit. Their set in the cottage was out of order.
I see. Well, that's all we want to talk to you about at the moment, Mrs. Whitmore. May we see Mr. and Mrs. Tanner now?
Oh, yes, of course. Sophie's quite upset, so I made a rest on the sun porch. I'll get Gerald. He'll take you to her.
Thank you.
Gerald?
Yes, ma'am.
There are two agents of the FBI in the living room. They'd like to talk to you and Sophie.
Yes, of course.
Do you think this will upset Sophie too much, Gerald? I could ask them to come back later.
No, ma'am, she won't mind.
Oh, Sophie, how those terrible men could have put that gag in her mouth.
Well, they didn't hurt her, really. As a matter of fact, the one who was taking down the pictures was quite gentle with both of us.
Well, we won't be gentle with him if we ever find him.
No, ma'am, I imagine you won't.
After all, the jewelry can be replaced, but the pictures...
I know, ma'am. A criminal like that deserves 20 years at hard labor. The FBI gentlemen are in the living room?
Yes. Will you take them to the sun porch?
Of course, ma'am.
Mr. Shepard, this is Gerald Tanner. I'll be here if you'd like to talk to me later.
Thank you, Mrs. Whitmore.
A charming woman, isn't she?
Yes, very.
This way, gentlemen. I'm sorry my wife is not feeling well, but she comes of a rather emotional background, and this experience has upset her.
We understand, Mr. Tanner.
Sophie.
Yes, dear?
Sophie, these gentlemen wish to talk to us about the robbery. Do you feel well enough, dear?
Oh, I... I think so, Gerald.
Won't you sit down, gentlemen?
Thank you.
Now, how can we help you?
Well, I was sitting in the living room when I heard a noise near the French door.
Sophie.
Yes, dear?
These gentlemen will ask the questions. All you have to do is answer, dear.
Revere Placement Service, Miss Daly speaking. Yes, just a moment, please. I'll let you talk to Miss Waters. She handles that department.
Good morning, Miss Daly. Don't bother to announce me to Mr. Revere. I'll go right
wait
in.
Wait a minute, you.
I'm sure he's expecting me. Good morning, Harry. You are expecting me, aren't you? Shall I sit down?
Yeah, sit down.
Thank you.
Now, tell me why you did it.
Do you mean the pictures?
I mean the pictures.
You want to know why?
Yeah, why?
Harry, the pictures were worth a lot of money.
That's what I read in the newspaper, $18,000. I still want to know why. I hired you to case that joint, nothing else.
But I did, Harry. I cased it beautifully. The job went off like clockwork. You got even more than you expected.
And so did you, and that wasn't in our deal. Jerry, did you ever hear of a guy named Mo Klotz?
Oh, yes, I've heard of Mo.
You know what he does for a living?
Yes, I believe he knocks people off for $2,000.
That's right. And in your case, I'd give him a $500 bonus.
Harry, aren't you being a little unrealistic? You need me, Harry. If I disappeared from the Whitmore place right after the robbery, it would look awfully suspicious, wouldn't it?
You got it all figured out, haven't you?
Yes, I have. You see, Harry, I'm a good deal older than you. I've had 30 years of experience, and in my type of racket, you've got to work strictly above the neck.
Oh, you're going to outsmart me, huh?
Not at all. I'm going to join you. How would you like me for a partner, Harry?
A what? Get out of here.
Harry?
A partner, huh? 5 months ago, I dragged you out of the gutter. I gave you money.
Harry, I might have been on the curb. I've never been in the gutter.
Get out.
Very well. You know where to get in touch with me. When you change your mind, let me know. Oh, Miss Daly, you shouldn't listen at the door. It's bad manners. Good day, Mr. Revere. Think over my proposition, will you?
Were you listening?
Yes. What are you going to do about him?
Haven't figured it out yet. But believe me, I'm going to give him the business, but good.
You'd better. Because if you don't, he'll take the business away from you.
After we'd questioned Gerald and Sophie Tanner, Agent Reynolds and I were not quite convinced by their story. On the Tanners' day off, we received permission from Mrs. Whitmore to inspect their room in the cottage. There was one item of furnishing that we wanted to check against the story.
Give me the flashlight again, Chip. Thanks. Uh-huh.
See anything?
Yeah, here it is. There wasn't anything wrong with this television set, Chip. Just these two disconnected wires, see?
You figured Tanner did it himself?
It's a brand new set. Didn't Mrs. Whitmore say she got it for them just a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, she did.
I think he disconnected it. Now hand me the screwdriver. I'll put this panel back.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah, I think he could have done it himself.
But you're not completely sold on my idea.
Almost, Dave.
What about those references for the job?
Well, I admit they didn't look too good.
References 5 years old and the party is dead. He could have written them himself from old obituary notices.
I know.
And what about that remark of Mrs. Whitmore's the second day we were here? She said he was very well educated. He knew a good deal about art.
Yeah, it all seems to add up.
You know what I'd like to have, Shep?
What?
A sample of Mr. Gerald Tanner's fingerprints.
Okay, let's try it. We obtained a set of fingerprints from Gerald Tanner's razor and brought them to our New York office for a check. That evening, as we learned later, Tanner returned from a trip to the village and found an unexpected visitor in the living room with Sophie.
Gerald?
Yes, dear. I remember the tooth powder, and I drove carefully, and I bought a pint of ice cream, and I...
Gerald, this gentleman wanted to see you. He didn't say why, and he doesn't seem to want to tell me his name.
Name's Klotz. Mo Klotz.
Mo Klotz?
Yeah, K-L-O-T-Z, Klotz.
Mo Klotz, well, what do you know about that? All these years I've been hearing about you professionally, and here you are in person. Sophie, do you realize who this is?
Mr. Klotz?
It certainly is. Sophie, you run in the kitchen and serve up this ice cream. Or maybe a glass of beer. Would that be better, Mo?
Now, look, Fred.
Sophie, get three beers like a good girl, will you?
Of course, dear.
You don't mind, do you, Mo? She's the nervous type.
Look, friend, I don't want to waste any time. Just keep your hat and coat on. You and me are going for a ride in my car. Mister, I said keep your coat on.
Oh, come now, Mo. What's the rush? Harry isn't paying you on a time basis, is he?
No, he isn't. I don't work on no time. And now, wait a minute. Who says Harry is paying me?
I know he is, Mo, and I'll guarantee he chiseled you down from 5 G's to a measly 2,500.
Now, look, pal.
Mo, if there's one thing everybody knows about Harry, he's cheap. There isn't anybody in town who wouldn't pay at least 5 for your kind of work.
Listen, friend.
But what I can't understand, Mo, is why Harry is trying this. If I get filled full of bullets...
Well, that ain't the idea. You're going to have an automobile accident, so look natural.
Oh, the subtle approach, huh?
Well, I don't know what you call it, but you're going to have it.
Tonight?
Yeah, tonight.
For a measly 2,500. Don't tell me you have to supply the car, too.
Well, that's an old jalopy.
You mean you're doing this for 2,500 and the car?
Now, look, mister, you stick to your racket, I'll stick to mine, huh?
Will you take the tray, please, Gerald?
Oh, yes, of course, dear.
Now, look, mister, I haven't got time.
Just one glass of beer, Mo.
It's nice and cold, Mr. Clark.
Well, look, lady...
Oh, come on, Mo, one for the road. What do you say?
Well,
of course you will.
Here you are, Mr. Clark.
Thanks.
Gerald?
Thank you, my dear.
And one for me. Well, now, you sit down, Gerald, and tell me what you gentlemen were talking about.
Back to Help Wanted in just a moment. But first... What's the best soap for extra dirty hands? To get the answer, we've asked two men to make the Lava wash-up test. One's using ordinary toilet soap, the other, Lava. Ready, boys?
All set.
Go! Wow, look at Lava get that dirt. Every inch of Lava contains 50,000 tiny scrubbers. Dirt's on in 30 to 50 seconds. Lava's double-action lather is tough on dirt, gentle on hands. It contains the same soothing ingredient used in expensive hand lotion. Time's up. Let's see the results. First, the man who used Lava. How about it?
My hands are clean, really clean. No marks on the towel.
And yours, sir?
Mine are still dirty. Ordinary soap just can't clean so deep so fast.
Right you are. There's nothing like lather to get hands clean and keep towels fresh. And lather makes more lather than any leading toilet soap, even in hardest water. So for you, Dad, for you, Mom, and the kids, always keep lather handy.
L-A-V-A, L-A-V-A.
And now, Act Three of tonight's story, Help Wanted.
A check of Gerald Tanner's fingerprints showed an arrest for fraud back in 1932. And when we looked up the court records, we found that the fraud involved the sale of a fake painting. This was not necessarily conclusive, but we decided to talk with Tanner further. When we arrived at the cottage that night, we found Mrs. Tanner in a very upset condition. Her husband had gone off in a car with another man, saying he'd be back shortly. It had been 3 hours, and she was afraid something had happened to him.
Now look, mister, what's the use of all this talk? I'm getting paid to do a job, and I'm going to do it.
For a measly $2,500.
Why don't you stop saying measly? What's measly about $2,500?
If I were hiring you to knock off Harry Revere, I'd pay $5,000. Where's your professional pride, Mo? You don't mind if I call you Mo?
I don't mind what you call me, because in a couple of minutes from now, I'm going to shut you up for good.
Doesn't $5,000 sound like a good, sound figure to you?
Friend, will you get out of the car, please, and stop talking?
$7,500?
Come on, now.
$2,500 from Revere for knocking me off, and $5,000 from me for not knocking me off. How does that sound?
Like double talk.
If it's straight talk, would you be interested?
Where would you get 5 G's?
I have a few pictures at a certain art dealer in the city. We can drive around till morning, go see him, and I'll have the cash as soon as the bank opens.
What about Harry Revere?
That's easy. You take him my watch. You tell him you did the job. He'll pay you off. My wife and I'll be on our way to California, and Mo Klotz has $7,500 instead of a measly $2,500.
Friend, you talk exactly like a con man I used to know. This guy was strictly a crook.
What have you got to lose, Mo? If I don't produce the money, you've got the body.
Five from you and 25 from Harry, huh?
That's the idea.
And I make out like I knock you off, only I don't, huh?
Uh-huh.
I don't like it.
Why?
I'll tell you why. I think I ought to get another measly $2,500.
Mo, I admire your gall. And if I were in your position, I would have done exactly the same thing. It's a deal.
Okay. What time is it now?
About 2.
Well, I know a beer joint stays open all night.
Okay, lead the way. I could go for a beer.
Well, Ben, I never heard a guy talk so much, believe me.
When Gerald Tanner failed to return to the cottage that night, his wife, Sophie, became worried and asked us to send out an alarm for him. At 8 a.m, Tanner phoned. He said he was at a tavern in Long Island City, was going to New York to see a certain art dealer, and told his wife not to worry. As soon as we heard the name of the art dealer, Agent Reynolds and I were on our way to New York.
Revere Placement Service, Miss Daly speaking. Just a moment, please, I'll connect.
Hello, is Mr. Revere in?
Oh, hello, Mr. Klotz. Yes, he is. Go right in as expected.
All right, thanks.
Oh, hello, Mo.
Hi, Harry.
Come in. Now, sit down.
Thanks.
Well, what do you say, Mo?
Hi, Harry.
You already said that.
Yeah, I guess I did.
Well, say something else, will you? You had a busy night, huh?
Oh, say I did.
Did he give you any trouble?
Uh-huh, plenty.
But you took care of him.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Mo, then I guess I take care of you. Here. $2,500 in this envelope. You want to count it?
Who counts a measly $2,500?
Huh?
Nothing. Let's have it.
There you are.
And here's his watch, so it'll show you I did the job.
Mo, I didn't need that. I trust you.
Okay, I'll keep the watch. I gotta go now.
All right. Oh, just one more thing, Mo.
Yeah.
Tell me, did you make it look like an accident?
Uh-huh.
And you put some of that jewelry in his pocket, eh?
Yeah, I don't know why you wanted to throw away good jewelry.
From the Whitmore robbery, to plant it on him.
Oh. Well, anyways, I did it.
Okay, Mo, if I ever need you again, I'll call on you.
Yeah, you do that. If you don't get me the beer parlor, try Hogan's funeral home.
Right.
If I'm not at Hogan's funeral home...
What's the matter, Mo?
Is there any back way out of this office?
Well, no.
That's too bad.
What do you mean? What are you talking about? Who's out there?
You better not look.
Better not look at what? Carol!
Hello, Harry. Do you think I was dead? Here he is, Mr. Shepard. That's Harry Revere.
You're under arrest, Revere.
Hey, what's going on here? Under arrest for what?
The Whitmore robbery. We're charging you with conspiracy.
With what? Listen, this is a legitimate employment agency.
Save your breath, Harry. They found some nice diamond pieces on me. The ones that you gave Moe to plant. Harry, I'm going to sign a full statement.
Why, you louse.
Moe, didn't he pay you to knock me off?
Well, I'm just a bystander. Count me out of this, boys.
Count you out of nothing, you double-crosser. You've got $2,500 out of me.
And $5,000 out of me.
And this gun, Shep.
Hey, now, what's the idea? I got a permit for that.
Supposing we all go down to headquarters and talk this over, huh?
Okay, but these two guys are a couple of crooks. And you were telling me you'd be on your way to California.
I'm sorry, Mo. I just hung around the art gallery talking with my friend when Mr. Shepard walked in.
All right, let's go, all of you.
I'll fix you for this, Gerald.
You almost did, Harry. That's why I decided to fix you.
Oh, Mr. Revere.
Well, what do you want?
The man from the newspaper office is on the wire. He wants to know if we have anything for the help wanted section tomorrow.
Full statement made by Gerald and Sophie Tanner exposed the entire robbery setup operated by the Revere Placement Service. Acting swiftly on this information, we cooperated with local police to round up 12 members of the mob and recover over $100,000 in stolen goods. Revere and his gang were given prison sentences from 10 to 20 years. Gerald and Sophie Tanner, lesser terms of from 3 to 5. No charge could be proved against Mo Klotz. For the present, Harry Revere is not considering any help wanted.
Right now, I'd like to talk about something close to all of us, the Red Cross. You all know what the Red Cross is, of course. It's people helping people. That means that when disaster strikes, a fire, a flood, or an epidemic, we can be there through the Red Cross. We can be there with shelter for the homeless and food for the hungry, medical care for the injured, comfort for a sick child, and we can help in rebuilding homes and livelihoods. We can be there, too, when our servicemen need a bit of help, a word of cheer, and a reminder that they're not forgotten. And we are there when blood is needed to save lives, whether it's a mother on the brink of death, a surgical patient on the operating table, or a wounded soldier. These wonderful things are accomplished by the Red Cross year after year. It can continue if you volunteer to do its work, for you are the Red Cross. Answer the call. Join and serve the Red Cross by applying for your membership in your local chapter. In just a moment, the stars of tonight's FBI in Peace and War. In tonight's story, Bob Dryden played the part of Gerald Tanner, and Alice Frost was Sophie Tanner. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Louis Pelletier. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious, and any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War, and is not an official program of the FBI. The FBI in Peace and War was brought to you by...
L-A-V-A, L-A-V-A.
Lava, the soap that gets grimy hands cleaner, faster... than ordinary toilet soaps ever can. Again, we want to remind you to be sure to listen to next Wednesday's story, 48 State Alarm, on the FBI in Peace and War. Same time, same station. This is the CBS Radio Network.